This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the names of Allah, the most beautiful names of Allah, Asma'ullahi al-Husna. And today, inshallah, we will look at the name Al-Wasir. The name of Allah, Al-Wasir, is generally translated as the one who is all-encompassing or the one who is vast. And the name Wasir occurs 9 times in the Quran. And sometimes it comes with other names and sometimes it comes in relation to certain attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, we have in the Quran that Allah is wasi'un alim, that Allah is wasi', He is all-encompassing and He is also alim, He is all-knowing. And then we have in relation to the name wasi' coming in relation to certain characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, wasi'ul maghfira, that your Lord is vast in forgiveness, or that He is such that his mercy is all-encompassing. So the name appears on its own and it also appears in relation to certain characteristics. Now, the name wasi' basically means one who has wus'a. And wus'a or sa'a is the opposite of a dhiq. Dhiq is constriction, limitation, or tightness. And sa'a is the opposite of that. Sa'a is to be limitless. Sa'a is to have abundance. Sa'a is basically the width or the extent of something. It is the space of something from side to side. This is the literal meaning of the word sa'a. But sa'a is understood as the vastness in one's state or in one's condition. So for example, it is said, sa'a tu sadr, that a person had sa'a in their chest, in the sense that they had a lot of capacity to endure words which were annoying, or they were very content. Sa'a tu sadr, vastness of the chest, as opposed to liqus sadr. Liqus sadr is when a person is very small-hearted, they're very intolerant, they get annoyed and upset over every little thing, or they do not understand much. So sa'a tu sadr is contentment, you could say, or a lot of capacity to endure. Likewise, sa'atul khuluq. Khuluq is a person's character. So sa'atul khuluq is that a person is very, they have very good character no matter what situation they're in, no matter who they're dealing with, no matter what place they're in. Sa'atul khuluq. Likewise, there are some people who may be, very nice in the way that they talk, but when it comes to, certain other traits, they may be very limited in those. But sa'a is vastness, ampleness in one's condition. Likewise, sa'a can also be ampleness or a great scope in one's ability to do something. So the word sa'a is also used for competence or for capacity or power or ability to do something. And then we see that the word sa'a is also used to describe abundance in wealth. That when someone has sa'atul 'aysh, it means that they have a lot of wealth in their state, in the sense that their financial condition is very good. They have ampleness of means, they have plenty of wealth. They have richness, wealthiness, etc. So wasir is one who has sa'a, meaning they have a lot of wealth, or they have a lot of ability, or they have a lot of power, a lot of capacity. So there is abundance, right? Or a lack of restriction, you can say. So this is the basic meaning of the word sa'a. Now, when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, when He is described as wasir, then what does it mean? It means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. So the name al-wasir has been interpreted first and foremost as al-ghani, meaning the one who is wealthy, the one who is very generous, in his giving. So He is wasir, meaning He has an abundance of resources. His treasures are unlimited. He owns everything, and He owns a lot, and He is extremely generous in His giving. So Al-Khattabi says that wasir is al-ghani, is the one who is rich, whose richness is such that it can it encompasses the needs of all his slaves, meaning there is nothing that the creation needs except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what they need, meaning he owns it and He is able to give it. You see, sometimes what happens is that there are certain needs that children have, but parents do not have the resources to provide for their children. And I'm not just talking about money. It could also be attention or love or education or enrichment and things like that. Why is that so? Because parents are, as people, we are limited in our means. We are defined by our limitations, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any limitation. So He is the rich, He is free of any need, and He is the one who suffices His creation, providing for them. Imam al-Tabari says that He is wasir, meaning His favors encompass everything that His creatures need. So His richness, His generosity encompasses every poverty. It encompasses every need. And by definition, what this means is that His management of the affairs of the creation is thorough and complete. Because you see, for example, if we are responsible for providing for our families, what happens? Even if we have money, we are not able to go buy the food. Or even if we, go and do the groceries, we forget an item or two. Right? We don't realize that we're also supposed to buy milk. We're also supposed to buy, eggs, etc. Or, we want to purchase them, but we're not able to purchase them because we can't find them, right? They're out of stock. Things like that happen. We see our limitation all the time, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is wasir. So He doesn't just own everything, he also does thorough and complete management of the affairs of the creation. So for example, for plants to grow, for people to have food, right? The plants need a certain amount of water. They need all that nutrition from the soil. They need that sunlight. They need the climate, the weather to be favorable. So who manages all of that? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who manages all of that. And then we see that there are certain creatures, every creature, it needs its sustenance in order to survive. And then we see that the sustenance of different creatures depends on the circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. For example, bears, they need fish in order to survive, right? And we see that while the fish are migrating, right, that is when bears are able to hunt them easily and eat them, right? So we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasir in the sense that He has encompassed and provided for the needs of all of His creation. All of His creation. He is al-ghani, So this is the first meaning of al-wasir, that he is wealthy, the one who is most liberal in his giving. In a hadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that yadullahi mal'a, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is full, and it is undiminished by any expenditure. And he is bountiful night and day, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly giving, constantly providing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that, have you not seen what Allah has expended since he created the heaven and the earth? And you just imagine how many creatures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for, right? Think about it. From the moment that you were born, how much have you eaten? How much have you consumed? How much have you used? And I'm not just talking about food. Think about how much oxygen you have used, right? Think about how many resources you have used in order to live, in order to survive, in order to enjoy life. So everything that you are enjoying, everything that you're using, and not just you, every single creature, where did we get that from? Who gave that to us? Who is that ghani, the wasir, who has taken care of all of your needs? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wasir is the one who is very rich, and he takes care of the needs of all of his creation. So this means that there is no creature that eats or consumes anything except that it has been provided by Allah. Meaning any creature enjoying or using any sustenance, where did they get that sustenance from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave it to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provided it for them. He created it and he brought it for them, right? So that they were able to use it. So we learn in the Quran, in Surah Hud, ayah number 6, that وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living creature on earth except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for it. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility to give it sustenance. So al-wasir, imagine how wealthy he is, how many resources he has, that he is constantly providing for his creation. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, it means that he is vast in all of his attributes. In all of his attributes, meaning in his knowledge, in his hearing, in his favors, in his mercy, in his forgiveness, in his dominion. So we see that when it comes to the creation, right, we have a lot of limitations. For example, a person may have a lot of knowledge, but their knowledge has its limitations, right? A person may be very, very forgiving and very kind and very sweet, and you know their behavior, their attitude, very nice. But even they have limitations, right? We see that in mothers, for example. Mothers are extremely loving towards their children, but even mothers have their limitations, right? Meaning in terms of their showing love to their children, there comes a point where their love expires, right? Where their patience expires, where their tolerance expires. Likewise, we see that, when it comes to our power, our ability to do things, even that has its limitations. Our physical capacity, that has limitations. Our generosity has its limitations. Our wisdom has its limitations. So we are limited, right? We have a lot of limitations and constrictions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is vast in all of his attributes. So consider the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has no limits whatsoever. We learn in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 80, that wasi'a rabbi kulla shay'in ilma, that my Lord has encompassed everything in knowledge. Meaning there is nothing that exists except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And then we see in Surah Taha, ayah number 98, that innama ilahukumullahu alladhi la ilaha illahu wasi'a kulla shay'in ilma, that your only God is Allah, the one besides whom there is no God, meaning he is the only one worthy of worship, and he is such that he has encompassed everything in knowledge. How encompassing is his knowledge? How complete and absolute is his knowledge? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even the deceit of the eyes, right? In Surah Ghafir, ayah 19, we learn, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ, that Allah knows the khaina of the eyes, meaning where a person is trying to deceive someone with their eyes. And one of the companions explained this as, one of the tabi'un explained this as, that when a person is, when a man is sitting amongst his friends, and a woman passes by, and he looks towards her, and then he looks at his companions and sees that, oh, they're not looking at me. So then he looks at her again, right? So this khiyana, where you're trying to hide from people, and just for that moment, for that split second, you look at what is impermissible, or what you should not be looking at, right, in that manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. And Allah knows what the chests conceal, meaning what intentions, what wishes a person has, what desires a person has, what they're thinking in their mind, what they're imagining in their mind. And sometimes these thoughts are disgusting, right? They are horrible, that a person cannot even bring them to his tongue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. There is no thought, there is no glance, there is no word, there is no deed that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-wasir, so his knowledge is all-encompassing. It has no bounds. And this is why we're told in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 109, that قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, that if the ocean were ink in order to write the words of my Lord, then what would happen? لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. All of the oceans would be exhausted, right? They would be used up before the words of my Lord are written down. Meaning if you started to write down the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't be able to. It would be impossible, because if all of the oceans were ink, right, and you were to use that ink in order to write, record the knowledge of Allah, you would run out of ink. You would run out of that supply. And the verse says, "Walau jitna bimithlihi madada." Even if we were to bring similar to it, or it's like, as supplement it. So even if the oceans were doubled, and no matter how much you write, writing cannot encompass the knowledge of Allah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir. He is vast in all of his attributes, vast in his knowledge, vast in his hearing, meaning that he hears all sounds. There is nothing that a person, a creature, utters, no sound that a creature makes, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it. Sometimes you can be sitting very close to someone and they whisper something and you miss it entirely, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard it. Aisha radiallahu anha said that. She said that, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wasi'a sam'uhu al-aswat. All praise to the one whose hearing encompasses all voices. And then she mentioned the incident of Al-Mujadila, right? The woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining to him about her husband. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically said that I have no solution for you, because nothing had been revealed regarding that particular matter. So that woman sat there, right? She was discussing her matter with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the same time she was complaining to Allah. She was making dua to Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha said that I was sitting there and I did not hear what she said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard her complaint from above the seven heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard her. Aisha radiallahu anha, in the same room, did not hear the words that woman spoke, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the complaint of this woman. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasir, meaning He hears all sounds, He hears all words. So whether you are saying something, right, or you are saying something in your heart, you know, sometimes you feel that nobody's acknowledging what you're saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard it. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors, His blessings are endless, right? His gifts, He is wasir, which means that His generosity is endless. It you cannot restrict it. So this is why we're told in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 18, that وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to start counting the blessings of Allah, you wouldn't be able to enumerate them. You wouldn't be able to. And you can go on and on and on forever. You start counting the blessings of Allah, you cannot count them. Because counting is a way of restricting something. You can only count what is restricted, what is measurable, right? And the blessings of Allah are immeasurable. There is no way to count them. His mercy is limitless, right? He is Ar-Rahman, and He is Ar-Rahim, and He is Arhamur Rahimeen. And in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed only 1% of His mercy. So in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 156, we learn, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and My mercy has encompassed everything. In Surah Ghafir, ayah 7, we learn, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Our Lord, You have encompassed everything with Your mercy and Your knowledge. We see that His forgiveness and pardon, right, vast, limitless, which means that no matter how many sins and how great they may be, no matter how many sins a person commits and no matter how serious they may be, even if our sins were to reach up to the sky, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is more than that. It is more vast than that. It is awsar. Yani our sins can be measured, but His forgiveness, we cannot measure that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir. So we learn in Surah An-Najm, ayah 32, that الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ, that those people who avoid major sins and immoralities, إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, except for the, but as for the lamam, meaning the minor sins, any, they happen, right? Why? Because people are weak. They are such that they make mistakes. So then it is said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness, meaning His forgiveness is huge. Don't try to restrict it. Don't try to limit it. And never say that I am unforgivable or so-and-so is unforgivable. Allah will never forgive them. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is greater than the sins of people. We learn in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 53, that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That, oh, my servants who have committed transgression against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Right? So yes, there are sins for which there is the condition of repentance, that you must repent in order to receive forgiveness. And then there are minor sins which are pardoned because of a person's good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is vast. He is al-wasir. His mulk, His treasures, His dominion, His sultan, His power, His dominance, His control, His ability, He need vast, unlimited. So think about it. Everything belongs to Allah, right? No matter what place it is, no matter what world it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Lord of the worlds. So whether it is the world above us, right? Alamul Ulawi, meaning the higher world. Where the angels are. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on the Mi'raj, right? And he met different prophets at different levels of the sky. So whether it is that world or it is the lower world where we are, there is no place except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it. So his mulk, his treasures are vast, right? His dominion is absolute. And we see that in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "O my slaves, if the first of you and the last of you, the men and the jinn among you, all of you were to stand in one place and ask me, and I were to give every person what he's asking for, that would not diminish what is with me, except what is diminished from the ocean when a needle is dipped into it." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are vast. What he has created is vast. He is the owner of all of that. And look at what he has created. In Ayatul Kursi, we learn, وَسِعَ كُرُسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kursi, it encompasses the skies and the earth, meaning it is so vast, it is so massive, that it can contain within it the skies and the earth. Yani it is much bigger than the skies and the earth combined. And when we're talking about the skies, as-samawat is more than the universe that we know of. Because the universe that we know of is what we can see, right? Whether with our eyes or with the use of telescopes, etc. And that is all within the first sky. Because in order to go beyond the first sky, we need to cross the gates, right? That's what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was taken on the night journey. That Jibreel knocked on the gate and he was asked that, "Who is it? Is someone with you?" Right? Has he been called? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given access. So the known universe and how massive it is, that it's difficult to even comprehend those numbers, right? All of that is what? Is within the first sky. So imagine what is beyond. Yani, our mind is baffled to even think what is beyond the first sky. Now, the seven skies, as-samawat, right? All of that is, it can be contained by the kursi of Allah. How massive is that kursi? And remember that the kursi is actually smaller than the arsh. The arsh, the throne of Allah, is even greater. So imagine how vast, how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if this is the expanse of his kursi, then what do you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ, and the sky, we have created it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the way that he has created the sky. We have built it. وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ, and we are musi'un. We are the ones who are expanding it, right? When it comes to the earth, yes, the earth is so small compared to, the skies. But even the earth, isn't it vast for us, right? In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً, is the earth of Allah not vast? Meaning it is huge, right? That there is ample space. And then the scales that will be established, that will be set up on the Day of Judgment to weigh the deeds of people, they are also massive. Yani they are such that even the skies and the earth can be weighed in them, right? The Hawd Kawthar that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given on the Day of Judgment, that is also massive. Jannah, how vast is that? How massive is that? You know, in a hadith we learn that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that who will have the lowest rank in Jannah? Which person will have the lowest rank in paradise? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that it will be a person who will be admitted into paradise last of all, meaning the last person to enter Jannah. All right. And when he will be told to enter Jannah, he will say to Allah that, "How can I enter Jannah when the people of paradise have already taken their shares?" Meaning this person will think that all of Jannah is full and there is nothing left for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask that person that, "Will you be happy if you have a kingdom like that of a king of the world? Yani, would you be happy with that?" And that person will say, "Yes, I will be happy with that." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that, "For you is that and like that and like that and like that and like that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that the fifth time, the person will say, I am well pleased, my Rabb, yani I'm happy with that. Five times, you know, an average kingdom of one of the kingdoms of the world, I am happy with that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, it is for you and 10 times like that. You will have whatever your soul desires and whatever your eyes could delight in. Yani, this is al-wasir. Look at the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. How huge is that? How vast is that? And at the same time, even Jahannam, yani, that is vast. It is huge. Not vast in the sense that it's very spacious. It's makan al-dayiqan. It is a constricted place. But it is huge in the sense that it is very deep, extremely deep. In a hadith we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that that is a stone that was thrown 70 years before in hell, and it has been constantly falling down, and now it has reached its base. Allahu Akbar. Yani, this is how deep hell is. So this is why in Surah Qaf, ayah 30, we learn, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. That on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Jahannam that, are you full? Have you been filled up? And it will say that, is there any more? Are there any more? Meaning, yes, there is more space. If there is more to come, they can be filled in here somewhere. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika minan nar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, it means that all of his attributes are vast, right? And that means that what he owns is huge. Just look at what he has created. Consider the size, the width, the breadth of his creation. Whether that is creation that we can see or what is in the next world to come, the wus'a, the capacity is something that is beyond us. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, it also means that he is vast. He himself is vast, without any limitation in his being. And this means that he is so great, so perfect, that he cannot be properly described in words. And even the meanings of his names and their effects cannot be encompassed in words. Shaykh al-Sa'di said that al-wasir, he is al-wasir al-sifat wal-nu'ut, that he is vast in his attributes and his traits, right? Such that لا يحصي أحد ثناء عليه, that no one can encompass the praise that he deserves. And no one is able to praise Allah the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be praised. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua, right? He would glorify Allah that لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك, that I am not able to encompass your praises. I am not able to do justice to praising you. So you are as you have praised yourself. So this is the meaning of the name Al-Wasir. And then we see that Al-Wasir also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, right? He encompasses everything, meaning that there is no escape from Allah at all. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 115, it is said, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, to Allah belong the east and the west, right? Meaning all directions, all places, they belong to Allah. And Mashriq Maghrib is also time, right? Meaning the time of sunrise, the time of sunset. So no matter what place it is, what direction it is, what time it is, what era it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, in whatever direction you turn, there's the face of Allah. Meaning you're always facing Allah, right? There is no escape from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, indeed Allah is wasir. He is all-encompassing. He is alim. He is ever-knowing. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasi', this also means that He is the source of ampleness. He is the giver of ampleness. Meaning there is no abundance, there is no space, there is no scope, there is no vastness, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives it. This could be vastness in terms of knowledge, that a person has a lot of knowledge, or that a person has a lot of physical strength, or that a person is very tall, or they have a lot of grit, right? The ability to endure. Any ampleness, any capacity that anyone has, that has been given to them by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 247, we learn about Talut, that when Talut was appointed as the leader of his people, some people objected that how can he be given authority? أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. That how can he be the king over us when he when we are more deserving, right? We have more right because of our lineage. And secondly, he does not have a lot of wealth. So their prophet responded that Allah has chosen Talut over you, وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him more in terms of knowledge and physical capacity. وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is the one who gives his mulk, meaning power, to whomsoever he wants. And Allah is wasir, he is alim. Right. So any ampleness that a person has, that has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the grave, we see that there are some people who will be given spaciousness, right? In a hadith, we learned that the believer in his grave is in a garden, right? So who makes that grave into a garden, into a vast open space? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does that. And He is the giver of ampleness, meaning this means that He has also given wus'a in the laws that He has given, meaning the laws, the commands, the religious commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they are accommodating, right? They make allowances for all difficulties. So for example, when it comes to the timing of prayer, right? It's not that at a very specific moment, that very second, you have to pray. And if you don't pray at that very second, you have lost your prayer. No, it's not like that. For every salah is a specific range, right? Meaning a time when you are when you may perform that prayer, right? Meaning there is a beginning and there is an ending, right? So the timing has a range. When it comes to fasting in the month of Ramadan, if a person is unwell, it is said in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 185, that وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ, that whoever is unwell or is traveling, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, then that person can make up the number of missed fasts in other days of the year. Right? Why? Because يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. So the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, yani the sharia is such that it has a lot of wus'a in it. It is flexible. It is accommodating. There are allowances, right? And then Allah is the source of ampleness. This also means that He gives to people what they're able to bear, because He has given them the capacity that they have. So He will only burden them with what they are able to manage, because Allah is wasir and He is alim at the same time, right? He is all encompassing, and He is also knowledgeable, fully aware of His creation. So this is why we learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 286, that la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, that Allah does not burden a person, a soul, with except with its capacity. Meaning accept what they are able to bear, what they're able to manage. And this means that both in terms of commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, remember that we are able to perform them. You know, there may be some difficulty from the inside, some constriction of the nafs, But it doesn't mean you are incapable of following the commands of Allah. You are capable. And secondly, it also means that any decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes with regard to His creation, that they are able to bear it. And He doesn't burden them with more than their capacity. So this is the meaning of the name Al-Wasir. Now, we see that the name Al-Wasir in the Quran, it comes with the name Alim, and it also comes with the name Hakim. And seven times, in fact, the name Wasir comes with the name Alim. Alim as in he is knowledgeable. So for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 261, it is mentioned that مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ basically an example is given which mentions the reward of, which describes the reward for those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah. Right, and the example is that of a seed which grows, it produces seven spikes, and in each spike there are 100 grains each. Right, so think about it now, from one grain to 700. So the same way, when you give in the way of Allah, this is like an investment that you're making. It seems like your one grain, one seed that you're giving is not going to make a difference, but it will. Because yes, you are burying it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it grow into 700, right? But you have to put your trust in Allah and give in His way. You give in His way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply the rewards and the effect, the benefit of that sadaqah so much. And then it is said, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, that Allah multiplies for whomsoever He wants, and He is wasir alim. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the rewards, okay? And one of the interpretations of this is that you give, in the way of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. Allah will increase your wealth, right? But remember that Allah is wasir, right? In the sense that when you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to reward, to give you a lot of reward. Meaning, giving rewards to one person does not reduce his ability to give rewards to others. Okay? And giving rewards to his slaves does not reduce his wealth. Allah is wasir, right? And He is alim. Yani He knows what reward to give to which slave, whether to give them reward in the world or to reserve all of their reward in the hereafter. Because, you know, sometimes we say things like, yeah, I gave sadaqah and it's been 5 years and I'm still poor, right? I still don't have enough. It is said that you give sadaqah, you give in the way of Allah, and you will have even more. Right, but here I am, I've given so much and I haven't really increased in my wealth at all. No, Allah is wasir. It's not that Allah is not able to give you. He is able to give you. He has a lot, but He is also alim. He knows what is good for you and what is not good for you. He knows if He should give you reward now in addition to the reward of the hereafter, or if He should preserve your reward for the hereafter only. So trust Him. We learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 247, وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah gives His mulk, meaning power, to whomsoever He wants, and Allah is wasir alim. He knows what power to give to who. Right? In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 73, we learn, قُلْ إِنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Say, all favor is in the hand of Allah, and He gives it to whomsoever He wants. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is wasir alim. Because sometimes when we see people with a lot of power or wealth, you know, or the fact that they enjoy, you know, certain privileges, we feel jealous. Why feel jealous? Allah is al-wasir. He has so much He can give to them and He can give to you, right? It's not that Allah's resources are limited. or his generosity is limited. No, it is, he is Alim. He knows what is in the best interests of his slaves. So he gives them accordingly. In Surah Ma'idah, Ayah 54, we learned, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That is a favor of Allah, and he gives it to whomsoever he wants, and he is wasir alim. Likewise, when it comes to the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, then remember that Allah is wasir alim. Yani he has created certain, or he has given certain allowances to you, right? But at the same time, yani these allowances are based on his knowledge, right? And then we see that the name Wasir comes with the name Hakim also. In Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 130, we learn, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. That if the two separate, meaning the husband and wife, the couple, they divorce, right? They end their marriage. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to enrich each person from his sa'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much that he can give to each of these two people enough that they don't need each other anymore. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is wasir hakim. He is wise. And this is so important to remember, because you see, sometimes people carry on with an abusive relationship out of fear of poverty, out of fear that I will find no one else to marry. Right, no one will marry me, you know, out of fear that if I don't have this person, I have nothing. No, if there is a good reason to end the marriage, then there is nothing wrong in that. Put your trust in Allah and realize that Allah is able to enrich each person with his sa'ah. Allah has a lot, right? And he is Hakim. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. Trust his decree. Trust his timing. Right, he gives with his wisdom, and he prevents with his wisdom. So, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, what are we supposed to do? How is it that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given that he is wasir? First of all, we must believe that Allah is the source of vastness and abundance, whether it is in knowledge or it is in one's capacity or time or actions, work, any abundance that anyone has, they have it because of who? Al-Wasir. Not because they're something special. No, they have been given that wus'a by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the source of abundance. He is the source of ampleness. Secondly, we must not restrict Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vastness, all right, with our small-heartedness and small-mindedness. In the sense that sometimes we are very quick to pass judgment on people, right? We see someone doing something wrong, something terribly wrong, all right? And we pass judgment. We say things like, Allah will never forgive that president. Allah will never forgive that, you know, that king. Allah will never forgive that, this person, that person. People that we dislike, people that we have, a personal grudge with, right? People that we are very hurt by, we are very annoyed by. We want that everyone should abandon them. And we want that even Allah should not forgive them. And when we pass judgment like this, we are actually putting ourselves at risk. In a hadith, we learn that a man said that by Allah, Allah will not forgive such and such a person. That this man said, Wallahi la yaghfiru Allahu li fulan. Allah will never forgive that person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that who is he who takes an oath in my name that I will not grant pardon to so-and-so? Meaning, who is he to say that I will not forgive so-and-so? I have granted pardon to so-and-so and rendered your good deeds fruitless. Astaghfirullah. Meaning the person who tries to restrict Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is the one who is deprived of forgiveness. So we must be very careful. Do not restrict the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the vastness of his forgiveness or his mercy or his pardon or even his treasures, because sometimes we try to prevent people from getting the rizq, the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, right? We try to take away from people what is rightfully theirs. And this is also unfair. This is unjust, right? In another hadith, we learned that this is a famous story of the Bedouin who came into the masjid and he urinated, right? And the people went to stop him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him be, let him finish. And when he finished, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions to pour water over the area in order to clean it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, explained to that man that, look, this is the masjid. We don't urinate over here. This place is for worship, etc. And so that Bedouin, he said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan, wa la tushrik fi rahmatika iyana ahadan. That, oh Allah, have mercy on me and have mercy on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not have mercy on anyone else, basically. Only have mercy on me and him. Okay, so because the man was annoyed with, you know, how other people had treated him, and he was very happy with how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had treated him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laqad hadarta wasi'an wayhak." You have restricted what is wasi', what is vast. Allah's mercy is vast. Why are you restricting it for just you and I? Right? Allah's mercy is so much that it can encompass everything, and it does encompass everything. So this is why, you know, no matter how upset we are, no matter how jealous we are, and no matter what feelings there are in the heart, do not restrict, you know, the favors of Allah just to yourself or to those whom you please, right? Whom you are pleased with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasir. He is able to forgive many. He is able to give generously to many, right? So do not restrict the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, this means that we should ask Him for abundance. Meaning if there is any wus'a that we desire, that we wish to have, any capacity that we want increase in, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that vastness. For example, if you feel that you lack in your ability to be patient, right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you more patient, to grant you more patience. So in a hadith we learn that وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ, that whoever tries to be patient, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him patience. And then the hadith continues that وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. And no person has been given a gift, all right, that is better and more vast than patience. Meaning patience is also something that is given, okay? Because it's a capacity, right? That capacity is increased in you by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you also have to try, right? So where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for abundance, for increase in your scope, you also have to put in the required effort, right? You have to take that step, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, we should do what brings abundance from Him. For example, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, right? Yes, it is for everyone. Right, as in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 156, we learn, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and my mercy has encompassed everything. Right. However, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy that is specifically for certain slaves, for certain worshippers of Allah. So it is mentioned, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا, I shall decree it, لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ, especially for those people who are conscious of Allah. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, and who give zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, and those who believe in our ayat. So if we want Allah's special mercy, then let us do our part. And what is that? Let us observe more consciousness of Allah. Let us be particular about giving zakat. And let us be of those who are strong believers in the ayat of Allah. Right. Likewise, we learn that when a person is content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Meaning with regard to whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them, then what happens in a hadith we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a slave of his with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to that slave, then faman radiya, whoever is pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, then what will happen? Barakallahu lahu fihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him in that. Wa wassa'ahu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it ample for him. Okay? This is for who? The person who is pleased with the division, all right, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the decree of Allah. So for example, you are, you something very basic. You compare yourself to your sibling, right? You are short, they're tall, okay? So one is that you are very discontent, very unhappy that, you know, I'm the shortest in my family and I'm always picked on and, you know, people make fun of me and I'm the odd one out. And no, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, right? So when you're pleased with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in what He has given you. And He will make that enough for you. He will make that ample for you. He will make that sufficient for you and more for you. This doesn't mean that because of your happiness with the height that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, all of a sudden you'll be taller. No, what that means is that your height will be just right for you, right? It will be good for you. It will be in your favor. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ لَمْ يُبَارِكْ لَهُ. And whoever is not pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, then he is not blessed in what he has given. So remember that if we want increase from him, or if we want that that wus'a, then we have to be content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees. Right. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasi'ah, this means that we should also use the wus'ah, the ampleness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on us. Meaning that when Allah has given us vastness in our wealth, for instance, and by that I don't mean that you're a billionaire. No, whatever that Allah has given you, then benefit from it. And don't be stingy with yourself. Don't be unnecessarily hard with yourself. In Surah Talaq, ayah number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَتِهِ. That ذُو سَعَة, the person who has vastness, ampleness in his wealth, he should spend according to his ampleness, or from his ampleness. Meaning whatever Allah has given you, use that, right? Don't be stingy with yourself. Don't be hard on yourself unnecessarily. So in a hadith, we learned that when Umar radiallahu anhu was asked about, is it permissible for a man to pray in one garment, right? That a person has only one piece of cloth, right? So is it okay if he just wraps himself up in that piece of cloth and prays in that? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ فَأَوْسِعُ. That when Allah has wassa'a for you, meaning when He has given you more, then awsiru, use that, right? Meaning if Allah has given you more than one piece of cloth, then wear that when you're praying. Meaning, why are you being hard on yourself? So likewise, you know, sometimes people are praying salah and they realize that their shirt is too short, or their clothes are not appropriate. Yani, you're not such that you have nothing else to wear. When Allah has given you abundance, then let that abundance be, reflect on you, right? Why are the clothes so tight? Why are they so short? Why are they so skimpy? Especially when it comes to prayer, right? So use that abundance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Likewise, in a hadith, we learned that when you prepare meat, then increase the water in it. Meaning when you're cooking meat, then add water to it in order to make broth, right? Because when there is broth, then the quantity of the food is increased. And with that increase in quantity, then what will happen? فَإِنَّهُ أَوْسَى, right? That you can eat it, you can share it, right? You can give it to your neighbors. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to when he has been generous to you, then use that generosity, right? And then finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasir, this means that we should use the wus'a that he has given to us in the right way with the right intention. Right intention, extremely important. In a hadith, we learn about how a person will be brought on the day of judgment, and the words are وَرَجُلٌ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, a man whom Allah had made rich, okay, and to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given different types of wealth. And so that man will be brought and he will be asked about the blessings that he had been given, and the person will acknowledge all those blessings, and then he will be asked that, what did you do with them? What did you do with all of this wealth that you were given? And he will say that that basically I spent it in ways that you are pleased with, O Allah. And I spent it in different ways that you like. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, kadabta, you are lying. Because you spent all of that so that you are called huwa jawadun. It is said that you are very generous. And you got that reward in the world. فَقَدْ قِيلَ, you were called very generous in the world. You didn't do it for my sake. And so that person will be taken to hell. He will be thrown into hell. وَلْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this means that when we have been given wus'a by Allah, whether it is wus'a in our wealth or in our talents, in our skills, in our physical capacity, and we're using it in the right way, let us also use it in the right, with the right intention. With the right intention. And sometimes people are using their muscular body to, you know, carry, things for people and help them out. Yani, what's the intention over there? Is it just to boast about your physical capacity, right? Or is it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So al-wasir, this is the meaning of the name. Now, how is it that we can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name? First of all, we see in a dua, and this is in the Quran, this is actually a dua made by the angels for the people who believe. And this dua is mentioned in Surah Ghafir, Ayah 7. You can make the correction, please. It's Surah Ghafir, Ayah number 7. Okay. And this dua is رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ. Okay. Yes. رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Sorry, I just realized that on the screen something else is written. So I don't know how that happened, but inshallah you can make that correction. Surah Ghafir, Ayah 7, a dua is mentioned that رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا, that, O Allah, our Lord, you have encompassed everything with your mercy and your knowledge. Yani, you encompass everything with your mercy. You are extremely merciful. There is nothing except that it benefits from your mercy. And you have also encompassed everything in your knowledge. There is nothing except that you know about it. No deed of people, no word of theirs is such, happens except that you know about it, right? So, فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Therefore, Ya Allah, forgive those people who have repented, وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ, and who follow your way, وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ, and save them from the punishment of hell. So this is a dua that the angels make for those who believe. Okay, the name wasir is not mentioned over here, but the attribute of wus'a is mentioned, that wasi'ata kulla shay'in rahmatan wa 'ilma. So this is a dua that we can make also for the believers and also for ourselves. Then we have another dua which is reported in Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir, and this is a beautiful dua which we should be making especially these days. And what is this dua? This dua is Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi, that, O Allah, forgive my sins. Wa wassir li fi dari, give me spaciousness in my home. Wa barik li fi rizqi, and give me blessing in my provision, in my sustenance. Sometimes what happens is that we are at home, but we don't feel safe at home. We don't feel content at home. That's not because of the size of the house, that it is very small. No, it may be big, but we don't feel safe and secure. We don't feel happy. We feel that we just want to run away from there. There is no barakah, no blessing in that space, right? Or the people in that place are a source of constant discomfort and pain and hurt. So in that situation, a person must call upon Allah that, Ya Allah, wa wasi' li fi dari, that make my home enough for me, right? Make it vast for me. When we look at the sizes of the houses at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we think about the size of the hujurat, right, the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were tiny, smaller than an average bedroom these days, but they were content, right? They were happy. They were content, not because they had a lot, but because there was contentment within their hearts, and that space was perfect for them, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed that space for them. So these days, when we are spending so much time at home, we are working from home, we are studying from home, and sometimes everybody's is at home, children, adults, husband, wife, everyone is at home. This is unfortunately causing problems for people, where couples are constantly fighting, children are constantly getting in trouble, and there is no relief from one another. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you sukoon in your home. Wa wasi' li fi dari, right? And this is just the house that we live in right now for a few short number of years. There is another home that we're going to be in, and that is going to be underground, our graves. And for that, we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, make our graves spacious for us. And when someone passes away, then we should pray for the deceased. And that dua is, Allahumma ghafir lahu warhamhu wa'afihi wa'afu anhu wa'akrim nuzulahu wa'wassir mudkhalahu. Right? And the dua continues. Part of that is that, oh Allah, forgive him, have mercy on him, pardon him, forgive him, welcome him generously, and wassir mudkhalahu, expand his place of entrance, meaning make that grave vast and spacious for him, so that it is not constricted to him. It becomes a garden from the gardens of paradise for him. Ameen. And remember that when you make dua for someone, the same dua an angel makes for you. So make this dua for your loved ones who have passed away. Even if they passed away a long time ago, make this dua for them. And teach this dua to your family, so that inshallah, when it's your turn, they know what to pray for you. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expand your grave for you. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.